For those of you who'd like to support the ministry here or support yours truly, you may send your gifts, your tithes, your offerings to Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. We also have a link on the sjrchurch.org website. And on sermonaudio.com, you can find our sermons there and also a link for giving. Again, Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. And we do deeply appreciate all of your gifts. Praise the Lord. Okay, we've got it. You know, for those of you who've been here, you know that the series of messages that I've been delivering has been on keeping God's commandments, you know, keeping the word of Christ, obeying, being obedient. And each one of these series, we've looked at ways that we say no. We don't want to obey. We don't want to listen. We don't want to be those who do what he said to do. And sometimes we do this without even realizing it. We don't realize that we're saying no. We're just living our lives as we've learned how to live them, and we don't think about it. We don't think about what Jesus said. Okay? He taught. He commanded. He instructed. And all of his followers are to go by what it is that he taught, what he instructed, what he said to do, and not do those things that he said not to do. I'm going to adjust this just a little bit here. I think, no, I'm good. Okay. So anyway, and throughout this series, I've related that our Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not a you might or you should or you could. You will. And I got to thinking about that while I was away, and I thought, where is that found, actually? Because I've been quoting it, but I didn't remember, like off the top of my head, where it was. So I looked. It's in the 14th chapter of John. And I want us to open our Bibles there. John chapter 14. And we'll start at verse 15. You'll find that on page 1664 in the Bibles there in your seats. Page 1664. And this is where we hear what Jesus said. John chapter 14. Beginning at verse 15. Page 1664. If I could get there, I'd be in good shape. There we go. We're going to read through verse 26. We'll start at verse 15 and read through verse 26. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would take your word and use it as you purpose, Lord, for it to do what it does. We know that your word does not return to you void. And so, Lord, we ask that you would open our ears. Give yours truly unction to speak, Lord, as we go through your word today. We pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Beginning at verse 15, and this is what we hear there. If you love me, this is Jesus speaking, keep my commandments. Okay? And he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Well, what's the helper going to do? One of the things the helper does, he helps us keep his commandments, right? Okay? That he may be able to abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Then there we have another piece there where he says, if you love him, you will keep his commandments. Because if you have his commandments and you keep them, you show or reveal your love for him. Okay? So there's a passive way that he says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Now, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? I think it's curious that he kind of diverted his attention away from this obedience thing. You know, how are you going to manifest yourself? He doesn't say anything about the obeying stuff, okay? He's trying to take him away. Jesus said, If anyone loves me, he will keep my words. He will. Okay? That's where that came from. When I say, if you love him, you will keep, because Jesus said so, you will keep his commandments. And my Father will love him. Now notice that. You're loving God by loving Christ. And how do you love Christ? But by keeping his word, by keeping his commandments. Okay? By keeping what he taught. Now, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now remember, he was given all authority. He was sent by the Father to bring the message of the way, the narrow way, that tight path, not the wide one. Oh, he illustrates that wide one. He shows lots of people who are on it, but he talks about his people, his followers, staying on that narrow path. And as you're on that path, you start to realize how narrow it really is. When you start to see in the world, and I've seen a lot of things in the world, when you see things in the world, you start to realize, wait a minute, that's not of the path. Okay, the path is here. That's not the path. Okay, so now I can kind of get the parameters. If I'm walking down this aisle, I can see, okay, there's seats on either side. If I don't stay on one side or the other, you know, I stay in the middle. I try to walk in the center of the path. But if I get off, boom, I'm going to bump into something that's not of the path. Right? Now, Jesus is saying, if you're walking in his path, you're going to obey him, and you're going to obey the Father, because the Father is the one that gave him the commandments to share. So your obedience to Christ is showing your obedience to the Father. Now, he goes on and he says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, back to the Helper again, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, and my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. And then he says, arise, let's go from here. So he's teaching his followers that he wants them to obey. Okay? This is the premise of the whole series of messages. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I titled the series, Saying No to Jesus. No! Like an obstinate child, we say, no, I'm not going to do that. Or sometimes we don't say it. We just passively, no, we don't even say the word no. We just don't obey. And so we need to look at what the Scripture says. Well, John, who wrote the Gospel that we just read, the record that we just read, John also wrote in his first epistle, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Those who say I know him and do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. And so there's this disparity between saying you keep his commandments and actually keeping his commandments. Actually loving versus saying you love. Because action, as James tells us, proves our faith. It shows our faith. You give me action, he said, and I'll show you faith. Now, John completely understood what our Savior taught. It was clear to him. And it's clear because he wrote it in his epistle. His epistle was a teaching epistle to a group of believers. He's saying, look, he didn't say this is what he said. He didn't say this is what Jesus said. And one we call Jesus said this. No, he just taught it. He taught it because he knew it was true. Okay? He had been there. He heard the teaching. He was there firsthand. Loving our Lord is observed in the way that we follow and obey Him. Very clear. It's so simple. And yet, for us, sometimes it's difficult. We think that we obey. We want to obey. But sometimes, we just fall short. Now, Almighty God, our Creator, who's our Heavenly Father, He authorized the one we call Jesus to teach the people of this earth in His name. He was authorized. He was an ambassador, if you will, from the Father. He comes from the Father and he says, look, the Father sent me. Everything that I'm teaching you comes from Him. Follow it. Obey it. Do what He said. Okay? But we find that it's a little difficult to do that sometimes because some of the stuff that He teaches is pretty tough. It draws us out of our own flesh. It takes us out of our own comfort zone. It keeps us from maybe doing what we want to do. He was completely empowered to deliver the message of the way that Almighty God wanted His creation to walk. Now, God gave him all authority. His authority is the Father's, and that means all believers are called to obey Him. Now, I wanted to clarify that, because as I've gone through this series of messages, I haven't completely clarified it. You know, because who is this one we call Jesus? Why should we obey Him, right? Well, because the Father sent Him, the Father authorized Him to teach, the Father gave Him the authority to do everything that He did, and He's telling us that when you obey Him, you're obeying the Father, because it's the Father's commandment. The commandment ultimately is to love one another, to love God supremely and love one another as ourselves. And anything that's less than that is saying no to Jesus, and it's saying no to the Father. So, God blesses His people. We know this. We've read in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and chapter 28 that God blesses His people who obey Him, and He curses those who do not. Blessings, curses. Which do you want? Blessings, curses, blessings, curses, blessings, blessings, blessings. I'm going to go with blessings. Yeah, I'll go with blessings, Lord, for the rest of my life. Okay? Yeah, think about it. That's what we want, right? So He says He blesses those who obey Him, but those who don't get cursed. Those who don't obey Him are the ones that get His wrath. That's what this word shows. Absolutely, it's undeniable that God blesses those who obey Him and curses those who don't. He shows mercy to those who love Him and keep His commandments. That's what's written in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 6. But He chastises the disobedient. And as I've said in every message in this series, it's easy for us to believe that we do obey Him. That's easy for us. We think we do. We want to. It seems like we do. But if we really line ourselves up in our lives to His Word, how close are we? Are we like obstinate children saying no? Are we like those who do not want to obey? Could be. And we need to look at His Word to see whether or not we're not. And today we're going to see some ways that we say no. We say no to Jesus and we say no to the Father. So I think what's really important though is that we learn ways to say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. And when we do, we see that we'll be blessed. It's obvious to me. There's a lot of things that have gone into preparing this message. And one was I was sitting on the beach watching the ocean, getting beat up by it at one point in time. I was sitting in the water and the waves are coming in like this high, 4 or 5 feet high, okay, 6 feet high, whacking me down, flipping me around. Then there's the power of God in those waves, okay? There's the power of God in those waves. It's relentless, too. Doesn't give up. Doesn't quit. Knocks you down and it keeps on knocking. It's like the world. The world keeps beating on you and beating on you and beating on you. And you get to this place where you say, Lord, I'm having trouble. And He says, trust me. Trust me. All right? So, we're going to look at that. More importantly, again, like I said, we're going to look at ways to say yes. So, if you will, open your Bible to the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel record. Luke chapter 12. Okay? Luke chapter 12. Let me see what page that's on. I'll find it for you. So I wrote it down. Page 1608. 1608. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 12. 1608. And we're going to begin with verse 22. And we're going to read down to 34. Luke. Chapter 12. God, guide us in our reading and hearing of Your Word today, we pray in Christ's name. And then He said to His disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add 1 inch to your height? If you, then, are not able to do the least, why are you so anxious for the rest? That just makes me laugh when I think about it. Because I'm a guy that kind of gets concerned about things, okay? I might worry once in a while. My mother was a worrier. She was a prime worrier. I mean, she had it all figured out. She knew how to worry. And she could instill that in anybody around her, okay? I got hit with it. But the Lord's working with me on that, all right? So, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink or have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, give alms, provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. Pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word, and I trust that He will. Do not worry. That's what I called this message today. Do not worry. Well, how does that apply to saying no to Jesus? Well, Jesus said, do not worry. And so if we get into this worrisome state of being, what are we saying? No. I'm going to worry, okay, because I don't trust you. I don't think you're going to handle this, Lord. I got to handle this, and I got to handle it by worrying. You know what? That doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit it. It doesn't make it better. It's not going to make you bigger or stronger. It's not going to make you go down the road straighter. It's not going to work. Worrying is just saying no to Jesus. And here he was teaching his followers, okay? He had previously taught them not to be afraid of those who can kill the body. We covered this a few weeks ago. But they can't do anything after that. Instead, fear God, who has the power to cast both the body and soul into hell. And there are false teachers today that claim hell doesn't exist. They claim that it just means death or means separation from God. At least that's what they say. But obviously Jesus didn't think that way. He didn't believe that because he said in his teaching that there is a place called hell after death. First they kill the body and then God can throw you into hell, this place of everlasting torment. That's not anything we want for anybody. But Jesus made a distinction. He made it clear. There is a difference between death and hell. He taught them then, as we go through, and this is earlier in the book of Luke there and other teachings, when we look at this passage that we read, if we compare it to the other gospel records, he said, all these other teachings came before. He taught about that we're to acknowledge Christ before men. We're to preach or proclaim Christ before men. Don't worry about what they do to us, okay? Don't worry about what you're going to say if you're arrested for your faith. He said the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. He'll give you the words. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say. You don't have to prepare what you're going to say. They arrest you for your faith. Let Him speak through you. He will. That's what He says. All you have to do is have faith. Trust. This is right before as we're going down into the lesson that we just read. He taught the parable then. After that, he taught the parable of the rich fool who hoarded wealth. He packed up his barns, and then he built bigger barns, okay? Yeah, I'm set now. I'm going to be able to live forever. And God said, nah, you fool, tonight your soul's required of you. All right? And what we learned in that one is, first of all, don't be covetous, and secondly, there's no point in hoarding. And I'm looking at that in my life and saying, you know what? I've got some things to get rid of. I don't need all this stuff. I don't need it. You know, Chris and I were talking about that this morning. He said, you know what, maybe let's go through the garage and we'll start there. You know, we'll just clean that out and whatever we really don't need, we're going to move it on the road. But we also want to learn that we're not to be covetous and we're not to be afraid. And sometimes hoarding, whether it's in a bank account or it's in a garage, sometimes that hoarding is nothing short of being afraid. Because we're not trusting that God's going to provide. And I've learned to let go of things. I really have, folks. Trust me. When we went to my dad's house, my dad had fallen. He didn't fall. They were getting ready to move out of their house down in Pittsburgh. And we went there to help them clean it up. Well, my dad was a hoarder. And we filled up a dumpster, and we came back the next day, and the dumpster wasn't full. We're wondering, why not? Well, we went back in the house and there was some of the stuff that we had put in the dumpster back in the house. He couldn't let it go, you know. Eventually he did, and we worked on that. God rest his soul. So anyway, back to Jesus. In the Proverbs 11:28, it's written, "He who trusts in his riches will fail, will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage." And see, Jesus is teaching on these concepts, these ideas. You don't have to put your trust in earthly wealth. You don't have to put your trust in that kind of stuff. Put your trust in God, and God will take care of everything you need. That's what he's telling you, okay? And then we get to that teaching that we read this morning. He started by telling his disciples, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. God will provide all those things. And worrying about those things is like saying no to Jesus. No, I got to trust myself. No, I don't trust you to provide my clothes. No, I don't trust you to provide my food. No, I don't trust you to provide my housing. No, I don't trust you to provide what I need. Oh, I got to do that for myself. No, that doesn't mean we're not to do anything. Don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not saying just sit back idly on your hands and say, well, God's going to provide. No, he's going to use you to do it too, but don't worry about it. He'll provide it. Just don't worry about it. Don't get anxious. Don't allow your mind to get overtaken with those thoughts that are not from God. Because if they were from God, God would say, I got this. Hey, I made the ocean. Okay? Go out there and count a handful of molecules in that ocean. See what you get. Okay? Try that. Go out and get a handful of grass out of the yard and try to count those blades of grass. God is a God of abundance. Okay, he's got everything. He's got it all covered. All you have to do is trust him. Don't worry about it. Worrying is saying, no, I don't trust you. And so we look at this and we say, okay, he's talking about basic necessities. We all need food. We all need drink. We all need clothing. We need housing. And he's saying, don't worry about those things. He'll take care of them. Now, what's that mean about the other stuff? Now, he doesn't promise he's going to give us everything we want. Okay, don't take that wrong, because there's a lot of people that are out there preaching, God will give you everything you want. He wants you to have what you want. I was listening to a popular preacher while we were away. There's actually a satellite radio station named after this preacher. It's all him all the time. So every once in a while I'd put that on just to hear what he had to say. I'm like, wow, you know, he did have some good stuff to say. I really appreciated some of the things that he said. I got to thinking, you know what, it's not all bad, but it's like those brownies, you know, you cook a little bit of the stuff out of the cat litter box in the brownies, and it's all cooked, it's all good, but it's not all good. Okay, and everything this guy's saying, he's real popular, he's got a positive message, and I'm saying, Lord, can I be more like that? And right then the guy says, you don't have to copy anybody. I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you. God uses the guy, you know. I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking about this as I'm going through the week, you know, preparing the message, and I thought about what Jesus said. Worrying is saying no to him. I'm not trusting. I'm not being faithful in my thought life. I'm allowing the enemy to plant those thoughts. There's not enough. There's not enough. You know there's not enough. Oh, you know, I was raised by people that went through the Depression. At least my dad did. My mother was born around the time of the Depression in the 30s. You know, my dad was born in the 20s. And so I think some of that got implanted in me. Like, without me realizing, like, I was raised by people that didn't have enough, and so they thought there was never enough, and there was always this idea of, you know, holding on to things. And okay, well, I don't want to put my faith in that. I don't want to put my trust in that. Doesn't mean I throw something good away, but maybe I find somebody else that can use it. So my faith isn't put in that. My faith is in trusting in God, because if I need that, God will provide it when I need it. And that's a hard one. That's a hard one, because if you got a whole big tool chest full of tools, okay, you don't want to give all your tools away, right? But you have to have some basic tools at least, so you can do what you need to do. And maybe it's time to say, you know what, I'm going to let go of some of these tools. I don't need them all. I'm not doing all that work anymore. In fact, I've told some people, hey, I've got some tools. You want them? Help me get some things done where I might need those tools. I'll never need those tools again. You can take them, because I don't want them. I don't even want to have to have them to do that kind of work anymore, to be honest with you. You gotta let go. You gotta say, I'm not gonna trust in me. I'm not gonna trust in mine. I'm gonna trust in God. I'm not gonna worry about it. And, you know, when you think about the people at that time, They had to struggle for food. They had to struggle for clothes. It wasn't like us. It's not like today where food and clothes are abundant. And if they're not, you've got social programs that'll fill in, you know, you fill in the blanks. You get Social Security or you get, you know, food stamps or you get food covered stuff, which we help to participate in. You know, we help people with food and stuff like that, which Jesus said to do. But back then, they didn't have a food cupboard. You know, they didn't have the social or welfare programs. So Jesus is telling them, don't worry about it. And they didn't have anywhere else to turn. See, we at least have somewhere else to turn, so we don't have to worry about it. We've got a little backup system in our society. They didn't. And he's telling them, don't worry about it. And you have to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to eat. I'm not going to worry about what I'm going to wear. I'm not going to worry about my housing. I'm not going to worry about all those things that can cause anxiety. And as he continued, I want you to think about how this ties together with that parable that he gave previous to this about the rich man who was covetous, holding on, you know, just banking it up. The same thing. This guy hoarded wealth and God said, you're off the planet. Brought him off. You know what? I'd just assume everybody that I love has what I had. I don't want to hold on to it. And I think about that. Okay, Lord. All right. I don't want to hoard wealth. You know, not that I have wealth. Some people think I do though. Praise God. I'm glad that somehow somebody got that thought in their mind, but this certainly isn't a reality in my life. But I don't have to hold on to the things that I hold on to. And neither do you, because you have faith. And I'm not saying give everything away. Don't get me wrong. Now, Jesus said, sell what you have and give alms to the poor. You know, take care of other people. And there's got to be some sort of a line there, because you got to take care of you, too. God provides you to take care of you. You don't throw yourself on the mercy of the world and say, okay, take care of me, because God said. You got to do what you got to do. So anyway, he asked him, who of you, by worrying, can add one cubit or one inch or one little bit to your stature, to your size? How can you make yourself bigger? Can you make yourself stronger? Can you do something for yourself by worrying? It doesn't improve your life. He said, let it go. Don't worry. Because worrying is saying no to Jesus. And he said, birds are better dressed than King Solomon. You think about it. King Solomon was rich, okay? He was dressed lavishly. I don't know about you. I've never worn clothing that was made with gold, gold thread. Never. And apparently this man, he had wealth beyond measure. And Jesus said the birds are dressed better than him. God's design is better for the birds. And then he used grass as an illustration. If God so clothes the grass which is in the field today and thrown in the oven tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And he's not just talking about clothes. He's talking about anything we need. Whatever we need in this life, he will provide. Don't worry. Worrying saying no to Jesus. Worrying saying no to your Heavenly Father. And I know it's difficult. I struggle with it myself. I confess my sin before the congregation and those who will be watching online. I don't want to worry. I want to say, yes, Lord, yes, I don't worry. Okay, you'll take care of it. I'll live with what you do. And that's a tough one. It's hard for all of us. None of us want to be without. You know, we see it getting cold. We want to make sure we can turn on the thermostat and get the heat up, right? I mean, seriously, if it gets steaming hot out, some of us have air conditioning. We'd like to turn that up a little bit or turn the temperature down a little bit, I guess is a better way to say it. But we have to trust him. We're his creation. He loves his creation and he cares for his creation. Just look at the grass. It doesn't quit growing. Okay. I'm here to tell you, I've sat and I've watched the grass grow this year. It's growing that fast and it's craziness. But you think about how God provides for the grass. You think about how God provides for the flowers. We're gone for 1 week. We come back and those flowers are like overtaking the walkway. Chris says, I'm going to have to cut these back. I said, yeah, I guess you are. You can't walk on the walkway. You got to walk in the grass now because the flowers have overtaken it. And they keep producing more flowers. God does that. He's a God of abundance. And it's incredible to me to think that how we can get so caught up in the lack that we forget that he's a God of abundance. And I'm not a name it and claim it preacher. You all who know me know that. But I know that God is a God of abundance. He will provide for all of your needs through his riches. His word says so. In verse 29, we hear Jesus' commandment for all who follow Him. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. How many times I hear people say, I'm just so anxious. And we see people being diagnosed with mental health issues because of their anxiety. Because they have so much anxiety. We don't need to be anxious, folks. If we're God's children, we don't need to be anxious. Because being anxious is saying no to Jesus. Some people might ask why we don't have God-given covering like the birds and the animals. Hey, Adam and Eve were naked in the garden. That's right. In a perfect environment, we don't need clothes. But we're in a fallen world, and we do need clothes. And God will provide them for us. But think about this. Our spirits are covered by these fleshly bodies. Because our spirits are vulnerable. And God gave us these bodies to house our spirits. He provided that. He created the fleshly body for us to live in. And that flesh, because if we're living in a fallen world, it's going to be given to desires that are beyond God's will for our lives. Including anxiety, including fear. He said, don't worry. Don't be afraid. I've got this. And when I watched that ocean, as I was sitting there, I said, God has it. He's got it under control. It doesn't stop. Those waves pound in every day. They come in every day. They come in. The tide comes in. The tide goes out. John and I were talking about this earlier today. It doesn't stop. And God doesn't stop. It's not like because you don't see one for a moment, whatever one is, you know, maybe a slice of bread or maybe a new shirt. Doesn't mean that God's not working on it. Maybe He's got you on pause. He's got you on a test. Maybe He's got you thinking about, maybe you're not walking as close with Him as He wants you to. And maybe as you walk away from Him, He's saying, hey, I got your shirt over here. And you're over here saying, no, I'm good. I got this, Lord. I got this. He said, okay, help yourself. You're on your own then, you know, because I can't help you over there. And we're walking on His path. We start to realize, hey, He's got everything under control. We don't have to worry about it. Because worrying is saying no. There's a version, one Bible version that puts it this way. You know, because Jesus said, don't seek what you should eat or what you should drink or have an anxious mind. And one of these versions says, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. That's a paraphrase. Don't be so worked up about what you want to get that you forget that it's God that's giving. There's another version that puts it simply this way. Don't keep worrying about having something to eat or drink. Don't worry about what you're going to do. Don't worry. Don't keep the worry going. If you start to fall into that anxiousness and that worry, say, wait a minute, this isn't of God. No. Wow, I'm going to say no to that. Yes, Lord, I know You're going to take care of me. No to the worry. No to the anxiety. If you have to, say it out loud. I used to teach that to people. People who were very overwhelmed with anxiety. I would teach them. Just say no. Say no to the anxiety. Say no to those thoughts. Because it's the thoughts of the enemy that are going to take you into that place of anxiousness. And I have to practice this myself, folks. You see, I'm pointing at me. Okay, the message came to me because I need to hear it too. I'm not preaching at you. I'm sharing the message of God's Word for you. And there's a difference. You see, that's why I chose the title for this message. Do not worry. Do not worry. Don't worry. He's got it. It's all under control. And all things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Simple. And the one that you love is telling you not to worry. He loves you. And for some of us guys, it's hard for us to think of God loving us. You know, we don't think of love that way. But God has such an abiding love, it's like the ocean. It'll swallow you up and all you have to do is just float in it. It's amazing when you think about the love of God. It's larger than our world. The ocean's only a part of our world. You can bathe, you can be completely overwhelmed, completely submerged in the love of God. And you can realize that He's got you. He's got you. We sing that song. What's the song, Rosalie? He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got the whole wide world in His hand. He's got the whole world in His hand. He's got the whole world in His hand. He does. And He doesn't want you to be without. Now, if you're lacking something, you got to ask Him, God, is this me or is this something going on here? Like, am I not where You want me to be? And what am I missing? Because I don't want to be. I don't want to be out of His will. Personally, I want to stay right on His path, right in the center. Because anywhere else to me is just not the place to be. I've been outside of His will. I've lived in the world. I've been of the world. Not supposed to be, but I have been. And God has shown me, walk on My path and I've got you. You're covered. Everything you need will be supplied. Don't worry. Worrying, saying no. And we need to guide our lives by this teaching that our Lord gave. And I know it's difficult. As I've said, it's difficult for me. It's difficult for all of us. Those of us who walk with Christ as our Lord, who walk with Christ as our Savior, who walk with Christ as our guide, was walking on the seashore. And I stopped for a moment and I was looking at the waves and I looked back and I saw my footprints and I said, you know, that'd make a neat picture. So I took a picture. I didn't like that. I took another one. Didn't like that. Then I put the thing right down on the sand and I took a picture and I said, I like that. Because all I could see was that footstep right there and then the next one in front of it. And so that's what our lives have to be. We need to be walking one step at a time. Don't worry about 100 steps down the road. Don't be concerned about that. He's got you. He's got you in His hand. He's going to do everything that you need. Sometimes He lets us get into tests. I was telling my boy that. He was saying about this difficult situation he was in. And I spoke with him this morning on the phone. And I said, it's just a test, son. It's just a test. It's not in a book. You're learning from life. It's just a test. You can pass this. I have full confidence in your ability to pass this test. Whatever the test is. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, there's different tests for different people. Sometimes it's a health test. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, that doesn't look good. And your heart sinks and you start to worry. Right? I mean, that's what happens. Truth. That's the truth. And other times you go to the mechanic and he says, oh, that doesn't look good. This is going to run into some money. Oh, Lord, help me not to worry. God will cover it. He'll make sure that it's all taken care of, whatever the test is. So don't worry, because worrying is saying no to Him. You know, Psalm 78 relates the facts of how Almighty God provided for His people as Moses led them out of Egypt. You all have heard that, right? Moses, raised up by God, 40 years old, he killed somebody, ran out into the wilderness and hid for another 40, and then God says, no, you're my man. You're going to lead the people out of captivity. And so Moses finally gives in after we were going to do all that, but he gives in and he leads the people. They leave Egypt. They get into this wilderness and then they start complaining. Complaining? God took them out of slavery and they want to complain. Oh, they wanted that lavish food they used to have. See, they were complaining because their clothes, all they had was one set of clothes. They had to wear them for 40 years. Now, that might sound bad, but think about this. Have you ever had clothes last for 40 years? God provided for those people, and they didn't even realize it. They didn't recognize it. They didn't appreciate it. And in that same place in Psalm 78, now Almighty God, He shows that He provided for His people. It also relates to punishment that God gave them for their unfaithfulness because they as much as mocked God. And it's written there in Psalm 78, verse 20, and I'm going to paraphrase, sure, God provided water. But can He provide for us bread and meat? And God said, oh, you want some bread and meat? God smacked them. Oh, He punished them. Because they were so disobedient. They were worried about things that He had yet to provide. He provided everything they needed. It angered Almighty God. And He punished them for not believing in Him and not trusting in His salvation. That's what's written in Psalm 78 and verse 22. I don't want to be punished for not believing in God. I don't want to be punished for not trusting in His salvation. He's providing everything. Trust Him. Trust Him. Now, those of you who know me know that I use Scripture. I don't just talk off the top of my head to say, well, this is what I think. Or God said when God didn't say it. So I look at His Word and I say, what did He say? Let's look again at what this one we call Jesus taught, Yeshua. His real name, His Hebrew name. Look at what He said, okay? I'll just flip a page here and we'll get to it. He said, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. He knows you need them. He knows what you need before you ask. But Jesus said, ask anyway. But remember to give praise. And sometimes it's like my professor, I told him about my mother catching the kitchen on fire, had a long face. What's going on, John? I said, well, my mother caught the kitchen on fire. Praise the Lord, he shouted. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Anybody get hurt? I said, no. Praise the Lord, he said. You know, and I just went on and on. Everything I said, he was praising the Lord. And I thought, you know, well, that's a good strategy. Praise the Lord. Everything's okay. It's all good. It's all going to work out. Somebody hit our son's car while we were away. He was in a parking lot and somebody backed up into him and scraped the car. He was all worked up. I said, praise the Lord. It's going to work out. It's going to be a good thing. God's going to use it to His glory somehow. Nathan, somehow his car broke down. It's a car he's only had for a month or so. Blew a freeze plug. It overheated. Who knows what caused that? I don't know. I haven't figured out what, haven't talked to him since then. I said, well, God will work it out for good. Even if it doesn't look good. There's been times when I have just like almost as furious as I could be. I said, God, I know you say this is going to work out for good, but I sure can't see how. Sometimes things don't look like they're going to work out for good. But we have to not worry. Don't be anxious for anything, His Word says. You know your Creator knows what you need. He'll provide it. Don't worry. But don't expect Him to give you everything you want. All right? That's not what His Word promises. And say yes by resisting the temptation to worry. My God, it's written in Philippians chapter 4, shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I tell people all the time, you know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's what His Word says. And I say, yeah, but He owns the hills too. Think about all the gold and the silver and the jewels that are in those hills. Okay? He owns 1,000 hills and then some. Everything is His. And if you are His and you need something, He's going to take it from one place and He's going to put it in your life so that you have what you need. Simple. So don't worry. Don't say no to Jesus. Don't say no to your Heavenly Father. Just accept it. Don't focus on what's lacking. Focus on what you have. And remember that He'll provide everything that you need. You need a place to live? He'll provide it. Do you need a place for your possessions to be placed? Place to live? Oh, yeah, He'll provide it. What about food? Do you need food? He'll provide it. In fact, we're going to have lunch today. If you don't get fed the rest of the week, you will have a good meal today. Okay? That's a good reason to come out, maybe. If you haven't been here in a while, come on out. We'll give you a good lunch. Do you need clothes? God will provide them. He will. And sometimes He'll use a brother or a sister or sometimes the organization we call the church. Whatever you need, He'll provide. But He says, Jesus gave a condition on God's provision. What did He say? Seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Well, Matthew's gospel record puts it as, he said, seek the kingdom of God first. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will give you everything you need. Okay? So don't worry. Just seek Him. And He'll provide. Because worrying equals saying no. He loves His people. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. That's the seeking of the kingdom. Seeking Him first. When you have that relationship with Him, you don't have to worry about food and clothes and housing and jobs and cars and making payments on things that you didn't get from God first. I had to put that in there for myself. You know, because I'm riding down the road in an old vehicle and, you know, the seats aren't comfortable and, you know, they rattle and they clatter and they smoke and they tick and they clack and, you know, all the stuff that happens with old cars. And I said, well, I shouldn't have a payment. I know that, Lord. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. I know You're going to take care of me. Somebody came up the other day. I was working on a car out there. And they asked me, is that a donation? I didn't understand what the question was at first, and I thought, well, yeah, I'm donating my time, so yeah, it's a donation. That's a donation. I was donating my time to another pastor to patch the holes in her car so she could get it inspected. So praise God. I know people that have received donations of cars when they needed a car. Well, praise God. Mine are still running, so I'm not worried about getting one. Somebody give me one. But if somebody has a car they want to give me, I'll be glad to accept it. Don't get me wrong. Anyway, Jesus said, don't fear. Don't fear. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom? You mean the whole kingdom? He said, we're going to be ruling with Christ in His kingdom. And John had said today, well, you've got treasure in heaven. I said, absolutely. The Lord provides everything we need on earth and in His kingdom. He's going to give us the kingdom. It's His will. That's what Christ said. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He redirects his followers' attention to what really matters. It's not the earthly stuff. It's the heavenly stuff. It's the after here stuff. And so often in our day-to-day lives, we don't hear the message of it's not all about here. It's about there. When we get there, he's going to take care of us there too. Jesus said, don't fear. Don't worry. Let's say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. I will not worry. I will not be anxious. Yes, Lord. He's the King. He's the King of Kings. We're blessed to be a blessing. And so we need to be a blessing to others. God provides for us to help others. Let's help them. Let's not turn our back on Him and say no to Him. We did a message on that too. He said, when you fed me, you clothed me, you visited me when I was sick or in prison. Do what He says. And life goes easier for you here on this side of eternity. You're blessed to be a blessing. As Jesus went on, He said, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Everything on earth is perishable. Has anybody ever, as I said earlier about clothes, you know, you have clothes the last 40 years, you ever get a piece of clothing and use it and it just doesn't, it looks the same today as it did when the day you bought it and it's 50 years later. No, it doesn't work that way. How about that car that you're riding in, right? Okay, does it still look the same as it did the day you bought it? Well, maybe it does if it's not too old. I can tell you, none of mine do. None of mine look showroom, okay? They're not. They're used. And that's the way life is. Everything on this earth breaks down, falls apart, and eventually is either recycled or buried. The same as with our bodies. Sooner or later, they're going to wear out. And sooner or later, they're going to be put in the ground. And it doesn't matter what happens to this body. What matters is how we respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How we live our lives shows whether we're on His path or on some other path. He wants us to have our attention on what really matters. Even our bank accounts that we hold so dear, they're perishable. You know, with a strike of a pen, computer thing could happen and bam, our bank accounts are zeroed out. That's the nature of our money. It's a fiat currency. It's not a real money. It's not like silver and gold that has an intrinsic value. It's paper. Paper has as much value as paper has. Well, the only value that it actually has is that paper, that value that we place in it. And we trust it. We need to trust God that way. We need to trust Him even though we don't see the value that He has for us, we need to trust that it's there. We need to trust that it's there. And that's the currency that we need to be operating in. And it's a whole different currency. It's kingdom currency. It's not the fiat currency that we use on earth. Everything on earth is perishable. Everything on earth is nothing compared to the riches of God's kingdom. Everything. And the final note in our Lord's teaching was, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. John and I talked about this out there too. Now, John didn't know what my message was, nor did Rosalie when she chose the hymns. She didn't know what my message was. But if you think, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me and you. His faithfulness is unending. And we forget. And when we go into worry, we go into anxiousness, we go into this whole idea of anxiety, we're saying no. We're saying no. We're not saying yes. I accept what you have to offer, Lord. Remember the parable of the rich guy who stored up treasure on earth? Didn't follow him. Didn't go with him. Say yes. Allow God to provide all of your needs through His riches. Kingdom treasure is far better than earthly treasure. Far better. As I wrap this up, I want you to remember, if you love Him, you will obey His commandments. He said, do not worry. So don't. Just obey Him. Just do what He said. Say yes to Jesus. Be blessed by obeying His command to not worry. Say yes. Now, saying yes to not worrying, that doesn't get you into heaven, but it shows that you're on your way. Okay? You're trusting Him for all of your needs. It's evidence that you're on your way. Say yes and set aside the fear of problems in this life. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about your housing. Don't worry about your food. Say yes, Lord, I trust you're going to provide those things. And it doesn't mean, again, that you don't do your part, because He'll give you a role to play in that. Okay? One place in Scripture says, if you don't work, you don't eat. There's something for us to do, okay? He's got work for us to do. And He tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Oh, that just spanks me. I'm going down the road in a rickety, rackety, clickety-clackety vehicle. Be content. Now, Lord, all right, I'm content. Help me, Lord, I'm content. Help me with my discontent. That's interesting to me, because when you hear the word, you apply it to your life, you start to realize where maybe you fall short a little bit. And I fall short. I am not God's glory, but I am a work in progress, and He's making me who He wants me to be, and He's making all of you to be who He wants you to be. He's going to provide for you. Say yes. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you into fearless living. Say yes. Help others to learn this message too. You know, if you run into somebody that's anxious, just tell them, you know, God's going to provide all of your needs. Now, if you're not one of His children, how about you come and join me? We'll help you to become a child of God. We'll bring you into His kingdom living. He'll take care of you. Say yes to God's Messiah. No holds barred. No resistance. He said, if you love Him, do not worry. Do not worry. Look at the bulletin cover. Now, I didn't choose this bulletin cover, except that it was the first one up that I saw this morning. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I thought about that. That's what the ocean looked like on some of those mornings. I got some pictures of the sunrise. I must have seen five, I think out of the 6 days that I woke up there, I saw five of the sunrises. And I took pictures and I did video, and it was just stunning to me. And I thought, that's what it looks like. And there was times when there was a sailboat out there. I said, wow, that would have been a nice picture to catch. Too bad I didn't get that one, huh? I got a lot of nice pictures, but I didn't get that one. But I looked at it and said, okay, the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do not worry. Do not worry. Tell yourself, do not worry. God has this. He's got it. Remember that. Think of yourself being in the middle of the ocean. There is nothing to hold on to but the love of God that's surrounding you, that's bathing you, that's washing over you. He said, if you love Him, do not worry. Hear what He has to say, and then do it. Do not worry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to surrender all of our worries to You. Help us to live our lives, Lord, with Your peace that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds. Help us, Father, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into fearless living. Help us to say yes, to set aside fears of the problems of this life, Lord, that we can conduct our lives without covetousness and be content with such things as we have, and know that You'll provide everything that we need. Help us, Father. Help us to remember that if we love Christ, we will obey His commandments. We'll say yes to Him. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, now let's open our hymnals to number 394. And we will sing, I Surrender All, number 394. And as you're singing, I want you to surrender any worries that you might have in your heart today. Number 394, I Surrender All. We'll sing the first and the third verse, I think.